The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Commute to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 15th of August 2017. We're going to bring our good friend Charlie Oliphant in, and Charlie listens to our shows, but I have not done a show with Charlie since I've introduced this. So, most people, I hope, are standing up and take a big deep breath through their nose, so you're going out your mouth, and you're going to say, I am a winner, I am a champion. I am a winner, I am a champion. Now, I know people don't believe a lot of this stuff, but I've been talking about it way, way back when I did a show, a solo show with Paul Firepower Gray, and then we did a three-way with Paul and Kirsten Tulick. And we got into me with all the reconstruct of the mind, the deconstruction of the negativity, things that have happened. In fact, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been studying this stuff so hard. I have read from people, read it and have heard it, them saying that some of the things that you're carrying with you still could be from past lives that you lived. Believe it or not, that's up to you. But when you start getting in and digging deeper and deeper, you're going to find out some things about yourself that you're going to want to get rid of. Because I've gotten rid of a ton of stuff. Not bad, just stuff I don't want to keep around in my subconscious mind at all. So, remember, I am a winner. I am a champion. I'd love to hear from you. Do it for a few weeks. Tell me how things have changed. And I don't mean just do it once when you get up and once before you go to bed. You should be repeating it all through the day, too. Make it just constant in your mind. Also, another good thing to do is hang them. Write them out on paper, which is super to do. Put them on your bathroom mirror. Put them on your bedroom door. Put them in your car. I have cards literally written with different things that I keep right in the console of my car. And I take them out at least one or two. I'm not looking down at them when I'm driving either. I'll be at a red light. I might not even finish the verse, throw it right on the seat and go. But you can take this stuff anywhere, back pocket, et cetera, et cetera. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Just go out and look at all the shows I've done with Charlie. There's over 700 shows out there. The big thing is FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, too, Winner Circle. Big stuff. 12 modules. They will just get rid of any type of defeat you've ever felt. It will crush old age. It will make you have pride in yourself. There's nothing out there like that. We've done all of the stuff that's out on those 12 modules here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. If you want to be super strong, super healthy, and have a mind like a steel bear trap, if you said yes to that question I've just asked you right now, you need to hop on it right now. $247 for 12 modules. That's about a little over $20 a module. There's a minimum of a half an hour per module, chocked full of information, and you get a 13th one for free called, Gatekeepers. That's what we call it right there. Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. That comes free, and obviously, you know, the whole thing. We have an 8 for 8 there, and we have everybody from Martin Janzik right down to Kirsten Tulick, who will give you an hour of their time free when you buy the product. I don't know many people that would do that. I think that's outstanding, and I thank them for that. Contributions, another big thing. We need some help. We've helped out tons of people. I don't mind doing that, but right now we are in some financial stress right now, and we are building everything we can right now to start circulating more and more money, to use our money, to give our money, and make that come back to us, besides some other things I'm going to have to do on the outside. It looks like to bring more capital into the company because of the direction I want to move. And that's what really matters, because this place is going to be moving in a direction most people have no clue to where it's going. It's going to be an eye-opener, believe me, but it's all in a positive way. Also, too, Sand Dune. You want balance, gait, cardio, strength, and stamina? You got to go out and look at this product. Matt was on here last week. What a show. Eric Gutman's got one. John Bruni's got one. Obviously, I got one. Dr. William Wong has one now. And this is a medical doctor. We got Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who I did a show with last week. Ryan J. Pitts has one now. And Charlie and a few of the other folks over here. I'm waiting to talk to Martin Janzix, because he'll be going over to see Bill Crawford in New Hampshire soon. And we are hoping that he'll bring three or four of them back with him to distribute to some people that I've already talked to, because we want to get a presence over in their neck of the woods. And I'll tell you what, you will be so happy once you have a Sand Dune. And there's going to be a ton more coming about it, believe me. We are very involved with this product in a way where you're going to see courses. You might even see people that basically are going to go and learn how to do this. This is going to be something we're looking at right now. But you can call Matt directly, Matt Dahl. He is a CEO and creator at 714-995-4500. When you call him, tell him that you can tell him I sent you, but you got to use the word motivation. You do that, you get 10% off the Sand Dune, and you get free shipping in the United States, which is phenomenal. And I'm telling you right now, this is either one, two of the greatest piece of equipment I've ever used. If you care about your feet and ankles and you want to build some severe lower power and recovery through your hip girdle, plus we haven't even talked about the upper body work we've been doing with it. I even suggested today of building a heavy bag with it. You're going to hear a lot coming out of this camp about it. So go out there. You can go out to sanddunusa.com, call Matt, and he is one of the nicest people you've ever met in your life. Well, as I said, oh, one other thing too. When you want to sign up, you go right out to motivationmuscle.com. It's right up at the top, right below Patreon. You sign up there. You go right out to our MailChimp list. Anything I send out, you'll be getting. Do not sign up anywhere else, because it goes out in the deep space. I just want to tell everybody that. Well, as I said, we got our good friend Charlie Oliphant on here, and I'm going to give you some information on this gentleman. Number one, Charlie is a stone lifter, a farmer, a Highlands Games competitor. And I said to Charlie, if you've been following Facebook with anything Charlie's put up or anything in etched in stone with Charlie, we are very proud of Charlie. He lifted the Denny Stones, and we're going to get into a ton of stuff. We're doing a show called Catch Up, but this guy has been so busy, and you know, he's looking at from July through October of this year. Wait till you hear what he's up to. So, Charlie, welcome back to the show, brother.
Well, thanks for having me back, Eric. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and it's excellent to have an opportunity to speak to you. I must say as well, I really appreciate before I did my first Denny lift that you put up some really nice messages on the Etched in Stone page, and it was a lot of positive responses and people encouraging me and wishing me the best of luck. So thank you very much for doing that. It was a very nice thing to have done.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Charlie. You know, you're a class act. Great guest on the show. Obviously, you're a family member here, and we watch each other's back here. This is, you know, we're not a paper tiger, as Dr. Wong would say. We're dead serious here. But as I said to Charlie offline before we came on, the whole idea here is we're going to make what we do here, everything we do. It's not only stone lifting and Highlands and rack work and all that. We want to get this out to the masses. We are getting it out to more and more people, but we really want to bring people in here, and especially the younger kids. that a lot of them are very wayward here, especially in the United States right now. They need to have something concrete, something positive in their life, and something that they can grip onto when everything else around them is falling down. And even when we're in good places, Charlie, myself, everybody, you know, with the business, how many times have I said, you know, it felt like we were burning down? Well, you know something? Thank God for great parents and weights, because I'll tell you right now, I don't know about anybody else out there, but I've heard from enough of you. The weights have saved my life more than once, and I owe an awful lot to physical culture, and it's gotten me to where I am today, and I couldn't be a happier guy. Charlie, anything that I missed, give out, and we'll get started, if you would, please.
No, I think you pretty much covered everything there. Thanks, Eric. I was just basically, certainly what you were saying about since the last time we spoke, things have been kind of hectic, and it would be lovely to have been able to sort of chat to you earlier, actually, but things have been so hectic, and quite honestly, they've been so sort of pressurized at my end that things like sleep and eating, I've really had to, you know, really concentrate and total performance and almost tried to sort of minimize some of the things that I'm doing in order to just sort of focus on these important things that I've been getting up to, which I can breathe a sigh of relief now because I've kind of done them and I've got a bit of a gap for the next things come up. So it's excellent to actually sit down and, you know, reflect on the stuff I have been doing and chat to you about it. And, you know, not doesn't really matter if I have a particularly late night or eat the wrong food or anything, because I think I probably earned it now. So,
well, let me ask you this, Charlie, because this is something a lot of people have never accomplished, or maybe they're on the cusp of doing it. Now that you've done we'll just start out with the Denny's, and I know there's a lot of stuff we're going to hit tonight. But the last show, obviously, we left off with the Denny's, and, you know, knowing you were going the end of July to nail them and be on with it. Tell everybody, though, you know, you worked your ass off. We talked about a lot of the stuff. We didn't go into everything that you were doing with Andrew Carney. And to let everybody know, when I get a hold of Andrew, we're going to do a three-way show when we can get the schedule with everybody's cleaned up and ready to go, which will be very interesting. But tell everybody out there, you know, you said you kind of got that relief now. But after all that hard work, you know, you went, obviously, to the Denny's. I believe that will be 2 weeks ago. The gathering was 2 weeks ago this Saturday. Tell everybody, what did it feel like when you finally, you know, I know that you had done some practice stuff, but you actually lifted Donald Denny's stones. What, now that you're sitting here talking to me and you've had a little time to digest this, what does it feel like to you now?
Well, it's actually interesting because I've actually got goosebumps just thinking about it, because I've got a shiver right up my back.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here and I can relax now and talk about it, whereas before it's all been a bit hectic. I've been other things going on, it's actually making me feel like I can feel a smile coming on, because the moment, it wasn't actually so much lifting the Denny's together at the same time, that actual lift, which I think I'll remember the most.
Yep.
The thing I'll remember the most is apart from all the training, obviously, that went into it, because that was obviously months, you know. I mean, I can't just brush that under the carpet. But it was approaching the Denny's, and I have a sort of a training sort of ritual, if you like, or a sort of routine when I was training with my replica Denny's. And what it was is that when I went up to the heavy one, I would basically use two hands and just do a few pulls with it to warm up. And I'll do five reps, and then have a little pause, and then do another five, and then I'd feel warmed up. I'd feel like I'd had a little bit of a workout. My back was kind of in alignment. I felt in the zone, you know, and that was kind of a thing that I did before then ultimately doing the 2-stone lift.
Yep.
So I thought, in the interest of keeping my training the same, as sort of trying to maintain a similar sort of discipline actually at the Denny's, so that it was all familiar territory to me, and it was like I was like a robot, if you like. So basically I approached the two Denny's again, and I took the heavy one as if it was my training handles, and I did five reps, And after I did a couple of reps, I knew I was going to do it because it felt so much lighter than what I'd been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is it. I mean, you don't want to jinx it, but it was a real buzz because I knew at that point that I was going to do this. And by this time, everybody else is sort of standing around, you know, waiting expectantly, and there's cameras out and everything. But I knew that I was going to do it because it was, and that sense of, you know, not relief as such, but that anticipation.
Yeah.
It was just a question then of, right, let's just do this then and see how people react to it.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to happen. And I know that sounds terribly arrogant.
No, it isn't.
But I knew from the training that I was going to do it just because the weight felt much lighter.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason for that was because basically the handles that I've trained with were black painted ones, and the David Horn ones, which I think you've
got. Yeah, I got them too. Yep.
And they're kind of glossy paint, and they kind of got a rigid handle at the top. I mean, they can go sort of left and right, but they don't have that flexibility like the handle on the stone does.
Yep.
And you're very much locked to position, and the weight doesn't feel alive almost like it does with the stone. It just feels dead and heavy and solid.
Yep.
And I'd actually, what I realized was that I'd actually been training with a lot harder weight.
Yeah.
And it was more uncomfortable. I didn't realize this because I had nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
But I'd actually, in a sense, it was easier doing the stone because it felt more alive. The rings moved. You know, it was a nice iron, something about a nice forged iron handle as opposed to a sort of a welded steel handle. It just felt warm. It just felt right.
Yeah.
And so that was probably, I thought, well, I thought I'm going to do this and you know, and I did. So yeah, it was a great feeling. And
I want to just interrupt you for a second because without you saying it, this is what comes in my head. Confidence, man. When you're talking right now to me, you can hear the confidence and the happiness in your voice. And you know, this is the thing. How many athletes do you and I know, I'm sure you've met through the years like myself, they were strong as lightning, but they lacked confidence. And when they got out on the field, they failed miserably, man. They, you know, look at what you're doing in the gym or outside, like all the stuff we all do, all right? What you're doing, you know, they used to always say, I remember in karate when we were taking it as kids, you know, it's better to cry in the dojo than get out in the middle of somewhere and get your face kicked in, all right? Do all your screw-ups, all your days where you're throwing stuff around and you're ready to quit or whatever, because then when you go out and you actually are ready to go, look at the success you had. So what I hear from you, and I'm not going to speak for you, but when I'm hearing when you're telling me about all this great stuff is this, I hear this confidence in you. And let's face it, Charlie, I don't care how good you are, if you don't believe in what you do, and look, we know there's no guarantees in any of this on any day. One day you could go and lift the Husafell stone. The next day you can't even rip it up halfway off the ground. That's the way it is in life, the way you recover, et cetera, et cetera. But no one can ever dispel the fact of confidence. I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead and take it.
No, I mean, yeah, thanks, Eric. I mean, I have to sort of quantify that by saying there was certainly plenty of times where the confidence was taking a hit in the training.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had to obviously fight through that and just keep going. And, you know, some days were great, and I'd be on a real buzz and everything, and other days wouldn't be so great. And it was a battle, you know, as I'm sure you've experienced yourself. But my main thing was that ultimately, when I drove to Aboyne from where I live, I just wanted that to be a comfortable drive with friends around me, and I didn't want to be having any self-doubt or worries. I just wanted to be relaxed and know that I could do it. And when I went up, I certainly wasn't by any stretch of the imagination was saying, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, it's going to be easy. I mean, I felt to myself that I should be able to do it. I mean, there's no reason why I shouldn't. So I think Andy quite appreciated that, actually, because when he was in the minibus with me as well, I mean, he did ask me how I felt about it, you know, and I was sort of, you know, I was sort of quietly confident, and honestly, unless I had an accident or I fell out of the bus and sprained my ankle or you know, or
yep.
You know, that really I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
But obviously, it wasn't a fair comparison because the weight I was training with was actually, it seemed to be, felt heavier than the Denny's.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it was good. It was a great feeling. And then of course with the gathering, which was it about 2 weeks later?
Yeah,
You know, it was fairly close to that. In fact, it was about a week later actually. I mean, a lot of people who attended the gathering had maybe done it a long time ago.
Sure.
And I think, I don't know how much notice that Stevie was able to give them. But I'd imagine that a lot of people were potentially caught out and suddenly thought, hang on, there's this gathering happening. I better train for it.
Yeah.
Where I was in a very, very fortunate position where I'd actually been training to sort of earn my place on this gathering.
Yeah.
So I'd had a huge advantage that I'd kind of trained for my lift, and it was only a week later. So really, I mean, there was no reason why unless something awful happened,
yeah,
I shouldn't manage it at the gathering.
Yeah.
Unlike maybe some other individuals who are perfectly capable of lifting them and very able and strong, but maybe were slightly caught out because they weren't expecting to perhaps, you know, they needed perhaps a bit more time to train, for instance.
Sure, absolutely.
So I was very fortunate.
And you got to figure you were probably in peak condition. You just done them prior, and why not go and rip them off the ground again? My feeling is, build, and build confidence. You got to be very, very strong. You have to be much stronger now, obviously, for what you did. So, you know, basically everything's a win-win now. You've accomplished, and I mean, you got a lot more. Let me ask you this: at the gathering, I seen the pictures, and you know, there's a lot on Etched and everything. It was a pretty interesting group you had there, and you know, Charlie and I were talking before the show. That's how our friend, our family member Ryan Stewart now is part of the M&M gang, and he was on last week, and it was because of the gathering. Is I said, wow, I've never heard of this guy. I said, you know, and I thought he was from Scotland, and I sent him a note, and I said, you know, I see you're at the gathering with Charlie, and you know, I named some other people there, and he said, I'd love to come on your show. And I was like, okay. So I sent him back another note to find out time-wise and all that. And I said, you know, you're 5 hours ahead of me, right? And he goes, no, I live in Utah. I said, bingo, we got him. So he came in out of what you guys were doing. And, you know, you listen to the show, and I've got a lot of good feedback on it. It was a great show. So, you know, I'm glad all that transpired, not only to meet and see all these lifters there, but, you know, now we've got some new people that, you know, they're just dynamite people. I hope that stay with us for the next 30 years. All right, so the gathering, you do that. Let me ask you one question, though, because I know Andrew wants to talk about some of the training. Now, it was a funny thing because it was similar to what Ryan was talking about with the weakness in the upper back. That was one of the things that he had to get the monkey off his shoulder, so to speak. What do you feel? Do you feel, besides all the training you're doing, obviously, you know, we had talked about in prior shows, do you think the difference, though, was it the upper back building it much stronger to be able to stand up with anything you wanted to pick up, or were there other things involved with it, you feel, Charlie?
There was a lot of things involved, Eric. I mean, yep. the back thing that you're referring to, that was sort of December, and I went on a historic stone tour with Andy and in fact Stephen Murray, who you've obviously,
yep, we've had him on
Motivation Muscle as well, and Neil Elliott was there. I don't think you've met him, but
no, I haven't.
There was a few of us, the Denny's was. I didn't really know what the Dinnies were or particularly appreciated their history.
Yep.
And it was certainly a technique that was totally alien to me. I often wonder the first time around in December, if I'd been standing the right way and had the stone set exactly as I wanted, if I was familiar with, say, with the hook grip or a thumb grip grip, depending on what you want to call it.
Yep.
You know, if I use chalk, you know, I never really even used chalk before. You know, I mean, it was really basic. I didn't have a weight belt or anything. So really, I was a bit like a fish out of water.
Yep.
And it wasn't just a question of strength. I would say a lot of it was technique and actively, you don't really particularly want to engage your back too much. I mean, you want to keep your back straight, obviously, but you want to sort of have the weight sort of driving through your heels, and it almost feels like you're leaning back or sitting into a chair when you're lifting the dinnies.
But right.
To a casual observer, you're going straight up. But quite honestly, in your head, you're almost, to me, it feels like you're forcing yourself back, like you're about to sit back into a comfy chair or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the dodges that made me realize that, because again, that was part of my training here, was trying to find out the sort of the best way that the weight should be distributed on my feet and how I should stand. And that was a big battle, actually, trying to find what was right for me. Even deciding which the heavy weight should go in my right hand or my left hand.
Right.
It took a long time to even think about that. And it was actually watching Lee Holland Keen.
Yep.
Some film footage of her lifting the dinnies, and she had wraps, and she was lifting them. And I noticed that when she eventually stopped or gave out, that naturally she sat back onto the lighter stone. But she was so close to getting. You know, I think there was even movement.
Wow.
And I thought, well, if Lee's managing to do that, and she's throwing herself backwards like that, then I'm going to adopt that technique and actively feel like I'm pulling the weight back.
Yep.
And what a difference. I mean, you know, you could have stuck another 20 or 30 kilograms on.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not joking.
Wow.
I mean, what a significant difference. And a long time I'd been doing it completely wrong, and my feet had, and my legs had been all the wrong way, and my back had been hunched over. And I actually was feeling that I was damaging myself. I mean,
yeah.
I actually felt aches and pains in places I really shouldn't. And, you know, and it didn't feel like a good, hard training muscular, you know, workout feel. It felt like I'm doing something to my body. I'm
hurting myself.
I'm
yeah.
actually doing something yep. wrong here.
Yep.
What a revelation. When I eventually kind of got my stance right and found, worked out the right way to do it, it was just like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
I think I've got off the point there a bit, Eric, because you're
specifically
about the upper back.
No.
But I did do a stone tour recently, and I had no problems at all. I mean, I did some of the larger ones. It's a whole different chapter, really. I mean, I should probably say that Stevie Shanks, he
yep.
came over. Now, Andy's been fantastic at overall training my strength and the general strength, the lifting stones. And I think by Andy's own admission, I think he would tell you that he wasn't training me specifically for the dinnies.
Right, right.
He was basically trying to improve my all-over strength, which would, of course, translate into making a good job of the dinnies.
Yep.
But Stevie was very helpful in terms of perfecting my grip, the hook grip,
mm-hmm.
where I should stand, how much over the heavy stone I should stand, explaining to me that it was more of a press with the legs rather than...
Right.
Anything to do with your arms and back.
Right, right.
And we even had the opportunity when Stevie came over to sort of give me these pointers. We went up to, they're obviously chained up, the dinnies, but we
yep.
both looked at them together up at a boyne, and we sort of hunched over them and crouched there and looked at them and sort of oohed and aahed and thought, well, Stevie was telling me what he thought was the best way to set the stones up.
Yeah.
And where he would stand and how he would do it. And this was like gold dust for me.
Sure.
Because basically, I had all this information in my head. And I could basically shut out everything else everybody else was saying, you know.
Sure.
I mean, you know, people are well-meaning, and I appreciate the support. And they always shout advice like, do this and do that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the moment,
yeah.
And it's yep. the occasion, and everybody gets fired up.
Yep.
But honestly, I think if it gets to that stage in yourself, I think you almost need to shut that all out, because you know what you're doing. You've rehearsed it over and over again.
Yep.
And if you start taking advice from somebody shouting something at you from the crowd, then something is seriously wrong, because you have to be focused on that. And that's the whole point of your training. And in a sense, when people are shouting and cheering you on and encouraging you and saying, do this or do that or do this and everything, I think that they're almost doing it for themselves, because they're feeling excited.
Yeah.
So my take on that is that people are they're all sort of working themselves up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
But you need to be focused on what you're doing.
Well, what it'll do to you too, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but it creates indecision then. If you were letting everybody get in your head, when I talked about before that how confident you sounded in the early part of the show when you were talking about this triumph here, you know, if you're opened up to everybody else out there, you're not going to lift those things most likely because your mind's just going to get overloaded and you're going to lose exactly why you were there. And you'll have a miserable failure. And I think what you did was real smart with Stevie. Here you go. You know how to stand over him. You know how to distribute your weight. And you know how to lift these things up. And I want you to finish that, but I don't want to forget. I want to ask you something about the smaller ring. But go ahead and finish. Finish up, Charlie.
I'm trying to think of what I was standing over them and everything. And so, yeah. It basically, exactly what you're saying, I was basically like, I said earlier, I was like an automaton. I was like a robot. What I was going to do. I knew exactly where I was going to stand.
Yep.
I knew exactly how I was going to position the stones. I knew exactly how I was going to hold them. I knew I had confidence in my training. So
yeah.
Quite honestly, with all those things combined, there was absolutely no reason why I shouldn't have done it. And I had the reassurance and the trust and the faith and belief in myself before I put that effort in.
Yeah.
Before I went up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd had the doubts and the uncertainties and the training it the wrong way for ages and, you know, suffering from it and everything. But I worked through that and I could enjoy the experience and I could feel that I had done a good account of myself and I'd made Andy proud.
Yeah.
And Stevie proud.
They all
had, you know, they all had these little, you know, they all contributed in a way. It was great. But
yeah.
I just say that one of the things as well that I'm not sure if you know Brett Nichol.
No, I don't. I know the name, but I don't know him. Okay. Right. Yep.
Well, Brett's a thoroughly interesting bloke, you know, and he lives near Aboyne. But it's interesting because he's normally there on site.
Oh, okay.
At every lift. He generally always witnesses a lift. I mean, if you were to go and do the Dinnies, Eric, then you can be assured that Brett would be there.
Okay.
He'd be happy to. Now, it's interesting because Brett has a completely different way of setting the stones up. And that really sort of piqued my curiosity, and I was looking at film footage of other people, because Brett kind of, if it's a triangular shape, he tends to have the nose, if you want to call it, I've heard that Stevie's referring to as the nose, towards you and under the legs.
Okay.
Whereas with Stevie's version, it was the point is out. And you're lifting the nose, which is further away from you. Now, they're both equally valid ways of lifting them, and I'm sure they're both just as effective. However, Stevie had told me his way, so I spent the time adjusting the stones and readjusting them because Brett was obviously there and Stevie wasn't, and Brett had probably just set them up the way that he would do it, which is fair enough. So you know, it was just another example of, you know, you need to stick to what you're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Even if somebody else thinks something, you know, has another idea, which might be right, but nevertheless, you need to stick to what you've been told, and again, it's going to help your confidence.
Oh, without look, the people that are wavering and all over the map, the globe, whatever you want to call it, it's not going to work because, look, if you've done all this preparation prior to this, and we know you did, you set a course within you, you know, to do things in a certain way. And, you know, I think most people mean well, but there are people that are very self-serving too. And the thing you got to do is, it's like I said, like in Husafell, when you're walking with anything or lifting anything, you know, anybody that's really in tune with themselves, yeah, it's great people come out and cheer for you and they want to help you out. But, you know, if you're really dialed in, everything sounds like a big, like it's muffled out there. And if you are moving with any type of stone, everything you're going by is a blur. Now, you know, if you've hit those two notes, most likely you've succeeded. But if you're standing there and you're weaving back and forth or you're looking down at your feet or whatever, because by now you should know where your feet go and where you're positioned, chances are you're not going to succeed. So it's a thing that, you know, you've got to train much harder, in my opinion, obviously you did, than when you're going to go out on the battlefield. And when you go out in the battlefield and you've trained for the battlefield much heavier and shored up the areas of your body where you feel could pose a problem, who's not going to succeed, man? The only way you're not going to succeed at that point is if you've just psyched yourself out of the game. And we know from what you do, I do, everybody does, if you mentally just self-destruct, and a lot of people do because of the pressure, there's a lot of pressure, I don't care who you are, who your friends are, to go out there, perform to your best effort always. But, you know, everybody says, well, I try to keep alive it off myself. You can to a point, but you're still going to have pressure. Let me tell you, you know, I remember the first time I went to pick up the stones. I mean, it felt like my heart was going to rap right out of my chest, literally. What was it? Well, yeah, it's anxiety. You know, you're nervous a little bit about things, but you're very excited at the possibility you're here and you're going to do something that most people could only dream of. And that's the big thing. You know, it's a success followed by more success, followed by a joy that not many things probably. I've never had children. You've had. I've heard people say to me, I lift big things like that. They said, really, the only other thing that's better than that is having a son or daughter. And that's a pretty magnificent thing when you can lift things of that magnitude that have such history to it. And it has such history to the people even in these countries that don't lift them. I think that's, as they say, the cat's meow, man. I think that's the greatest thing. Go ahead and comment on anything. If not, let's move on to, I know you're getting ready for Highland Games, but if there's anything in between here you want to hit, we've still got maybe about 15 minutes. We're almost at, you and I do long shows, so everybody knows that. We're already at 1 hour and 24 minutes, folks, but it feels like we've been on for 15 minutes. So take it away, my friend. Anything.
Okay. Right, well, I suppose a couple of things that I've got sort of coming up. I should say earlier, when Stevie did come over, actually, we did some of the historical stones. We never really planned on doing that as such, but he was going to give me some training, but then we ended up just going around the country and doing the Inver and the Saddler there, and it was great. It was great spending time with Stevie, and anyway, that was again, when we're talking about my upper back and stuff and the strength, that was basically my first sort of go at the historic stones, having gone through all the training, and it was completely different. I mean, I shouldered the Inver without too much bother, and you know, and I basically did all the stones without any issues. So, I mean, in a sense, that just proved the training thing. You know, that it was great. But anyway, so I digress. So I've got a Highland Games coming up on the 3rd of September, which. It's got an Ardbeg Stones event coming up, and Kenny Sim, he'll be there, and the guy Ryan Reed, who I've never actually met yet, but we're friends on Facebook, but he was competing in UK Strongest Man this year. So there should be a few people should complete all nine of these stones, and should be a good day. Oh, before, if we've got limited time, I really should say this, Eric.
Yeah.
When I was at the gathering.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna. I apologize now if I've missed anybody out. But obviously there was Ryan Stewart was there,
yep.
And there was James Graham, and there was Stephen Murray, and there was Andy Kearney, and there was Martin Jansis, and again, apologies if I've missed people. But obviously they've all been. Well, Ryan at this point hadn't been, but they've all been past guests on Motivation and Muscle.
Yep.
And I should say that. That your name and Motivation and Muscle was, you know, it came up in conversation, obviously in a positive way.
Yeah.
And it was, everybody knows, obviously, the show. and has got, you know, good experiences of having been on it. And,
yeah.
So I just like, yeah, it's funny how that, you know, that we already had that common bond at the gathering.
Yep.
Apart from lifting the dinnies, there was a disproportionate amount of people who you had interviewed or talked to personally.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, obviously, with Ryan as well, I mean, I did talk to Ryan. He was great, you know, there's a really decent bloke.
Yep.
But in a sense, you know, it would have been nicer if he'd been interviewed before, because it would have been more interesting.
Oh, God.
Stuff, but,
it would have been fun. You know what would have been really fun, Charlie, seriously, to be able to go over and lift with you guys, and then I'd get to walk up to the Denny's, and one of you would take the mic, and you would just talk. And then after I did, I'd go back. We'll do it. It'll happen. You know, it's just right now, things are a little rough. But I really appreciate you guys, you know, pumping the show up there, and I'm very proud to have you all on. And I think the feeling among everybody, you know, from what I talk to, they're very happy to be on here and be part of the family, because I think we got a common bond other than just stones. I really feel that everybody that I've connected with over in your neck of the woods, and, you know, Stevie over in Ireland, obviously.
They mentioned Stevie. Yeah, he was an obvious one. Stevie. And also Cara Shore, who you're going to have hopefully
she's
soon. That's another two. Apologies.
No, that's all right. But, you know, what I was saying is, you know, we know, you know, right now there's a lot of tough things going on in the outer world. And, you know, as I said at one point, it's nice to be able to grab the kids now that maybe don't have such a good home life or are really searching for something. And, you know, when you see men and women doing this stuff, I don't care who you are, it does touch something off in you. And especially the younger kids, you know, you have a son that lifts Atlas stones. You know, I have nieces and nephews, and we have other gentlemen and ladies that have their own kids doing them. It's just a great thing, you know, and you did this past weekend, especially with the gathering, how it's so essential, regardless of what it is, but when people see men and women lifting boulders all over the place and lifting history and camaraderie and people pulling for one another, I think it's a thing now, especially I see in America, where a lot of this is not even visible anymore. Most of the sports now, whether they're team or not, you watch these kids, or even the older ones, adults and stuff. I've gone and watched pro games. It's pretty much me, myself, and I. They might portray, there are some teams that are still team-oriented, but to me, everything looks like, let's find out if we can get the next big contract. So, you know, what I want to know from you, obviously, is this. Stone, we know how much stone lifting has really caught fire a lot here, all over the place. Do you think, is this something that we can mainstream eventually down the road? Because we can equate it, obviously, you know, I don't care who you are, any sport you're playing, your weight training, you know, like when Ryan was on the other day, he was in his sophomore year in high school and he had gone out for the basketball team. He couldn't stand the coach. His father wrote him a lifting, whatever you want to call it, routine. And he said, you know, my dad didn't know a lot. He'd been around it. He said, I started lifting weights and I never looked back again. That's happened to all of us. It happened to me for sure. Comment on any of that. And where are we? You know, you have a young son. You have a son that's doing things with stones. He's following his dad's lead. What is your feeling with this all now? Are we going to be able to, whether we hook it, we're going to try to hook everything together. Can we mainstream this, do you feel, down the road?
I think it's a nice idea, and it would be fantastic if it happened. But I think that there is a, I don't know how you describe it. I think there's a sort of a need for people. Like, very often, if somebody sees you lifting a stone or doing something, the first thing is, how much does it weigh?
Right.
And there's little regard for how smooth it is, or if there's anywhere to put your hand, or the awkwardness of the shape, or anything. It just seems to be weight-orientated. And in terms of lifting something like a stone, that's not necessarily an accurate reflection on how hard it is to lift, because grip and texture and it all comes into it. So in terms of it becoming mainstream, I think that the public consciousness wants everything to be regimented and exactly the same, whether it's a barbell or a dumbbell, or, mm-hmm. and they need to know what the weight is. And in a sense, I think it would be hard to mainstream stone lifting, because whether it's the competitive element of people or not, I really don't know. That people want to know exactly what you're doing because they want to know if they can do it.
Right.
Whereas with a stone being a natural thing, it's hard to mainstream it, in as much that people want to exactly replicate what you're doing with a stone in some field somewhere, but they can't possibly do that.
Right.
Because of the composition of the stone, whether it's granite or dolomite or sandstone, or, you know, the shape of it, the grit. It's almost impossible to have an exact replication. So in terms of mainstream, people want to do competitions. They want to train for competitions and things. And yeah, there are stone lifting competitions. But I think there'll be an element of people who I would love to think that it would work mainstream, but there's just, I don't ever see, to put it bluntly, gyms all around the country with exactly the same shapes of stones or texture and diameter or whatever. So I think that it'll struggle. But, you know, Eric, ironically for me, in a sense, the fact that it's maybe not mainstream, but it's a very, very valid tool.
Yeah.
And it should be mainstream. It almost, in a sense, adds to the appeal of it, because it's there's something a bit niche about it. And I would love it to be mainstream, but it's I think it would be hard to convince a lot of people that are sort of the regimented, everything must be exactly the same weight and proportions,
right.
Brigade.
Right, and I agree totally with that, but there's one thing that I've seen with people, and you probably have too, that never even touched a stone, or maybe they started with a sandbag and gravitated to smaller stones. I've seen a lot of people that I never thought would really even care to lift one, but I said this before. I think with some people, I think inherently we all have that in us, but it's like something just hits a button in you and you really want to start going after it and learning it. And is everybody going to want to do them? No, it's like anything. Is there always going to be a fringe element of everything? Absolutely. Thank God there is, because, you know, we've got people that don't mind going out in the middle of nowhere, or they go to lift a stone and it's frozen to the ground, or they're caught in a storm, or, you know, they're sitting there just shaking their head because, you know, I didn't get it this time, but I'm going to come back the next time, and they're living with happiness and glee that they came back and made it on another day. So I think, you know, and to me, it might not even be so much the stone itself. I think it's the, you know, when I talk to people, you know, about stone lifting or going over, you know, in your neck of the woods or Iceland or whatever, it's very captivating to a lot of people. Now, do they want to do it? Probably the majority of them don't, all right? But I think the way we get the message out, especially, is the stories, the training, the things we've done, you know, get on Icelandic Air, fly to another country you've never been to. Maybe you're on your own, maybe you're one other person. You know, people admire things like that. You know, that's why the Rocky movies are always so great. The underdog, the underdog, the underdog. I mean, think about it. I don't care how great you are at anything. You know, you go and wrap your arms around a 418-pound talc-like stone. That's one thing to lift it. But the other thing is to walk it 50 meters around a sheep pen where the ground you're walking on is not your basic blacktop, where it's nice and smooth and friendly. So people enjoy those things. And if it gets a few of them into what we like doing, that's even all that much better. But I will do everything in my power, and I hate that word mainstream, just to let you know, but I think the more people we can get interested, you know, in just physical culture, and if it manifests it out to, from the weight room to they start sandbags, or there's a few Atlas stones laying around in the gym collecting dust nobody wants to even bother with, that's all the much better for everything we like to do. Comment on any of that, and let's hit the next piece we want to go with. I mean, I think we're just starting to get in. Did we do the part with Stevie when you went on the tour already? Or if we didn't, we'll hit that more. But go ahead and comment, please.
Yeah, well, I think we're sort of alluding to sort of the romance of the whole stone lifting image. You know, the whole. I mean, certainly, I quite enjoy reading novels, and a lot of those novels are, I don't know, some of them are sort of swords and sorcery or fantasy, or like some of the David Gemmell stuff I quite enjoy. I don't know if you're familiar with him. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you get the odd battle scene and, you know, people get hurt and, you know, there's they describe the countryside and people, generally it's people who are living hundreds of years, the sort of clothes they're wearing and everything is fairly basic and everything. But I mean, going around the countryside and locating these stones, and if you like, doing battle with these stones,
is probably
the closest I'm ever gonna get to living one of these novels.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there is an appeal, and also there's also the historical appeal as well. I mean, there's fair enough. There's people who like the challenge and the physical aspect of it, but a lot of these stones are steeped in history.
Yeah,
and I think that if you were if you're younger, perhaps, and able, and I don't want to say that there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to lift these stones at any age. If you're focused and you train, you'll do it. But I think there's a stage that when you probably get a bit older, that you maybe the fascination does become with the more of the cultural side.
Yeah.
And perhaps, yep, you might even be tempted to write about the stones or your experience or their significance in history. Mm-hmm. So whether or not you're lifting them or whether or not you're interested in them, like Peter Martin and James Graham, for instance, and Martin Jancis. Now, obviously, yep, Martin and James are very accomplished stone lifters,
yep,
and that they're sort of interested in all aspects of the stones. But, you know, nevertheless, there are people who would mainly just focus on the academia, if you like, on these stones.
Sure.
So yes, there is a wide appeal, definitely.
Yeah.
You can write about these stones, the best ways to lift them or shoulder them or press them overhead, and you can also write about the significance in history.
Well, you know, something that's real interesting too. I mean, I'm thinking about when you're talking about going out in the middle of nowhere and, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, a nice warm green meadow you're walking through and there's a stone sitting there, you know, or then on the flip side, you know, you get caught in a killer storm in Iceland and you decide you're going to go sit in the car and wait it out or you're just going to go through it, regardless what happens. So to me, you know, you talk about battles, you know, it is a battle. It's a battle with something that could literally dismantle you in one shot if it's not done correctly. But to me, the beauty of all the stone lifting, besides the camaraderie and the history and all that, is you get an opportunity to go over there and do things very few men and women will ever do. And that, to me, that's very special. And I think anybody that does things like that is a very special individual, because not only are they committed to what they do, but as I said, when they're outside of the stone field or outside of the gym. Now, mind you, I've said this before, and I totally believe this. Just because you're out of the gym and you're not carrying a stone or you have a barbell or you're pulling a barbell doesn't mean that you're not still that same person. See, there is no difference when you walk in that gym or out of that gym. It's just the equipment you have on you, so to speak. And that's why I admire all that stuff so much, because the idea of being able to do something like that, to be able to plan, whether you got to travel for this, you know, whether you're out of the country, et cetera, those are things that, you know, we don't talk about a lot. We don't talk about all the other things other than the weight room usually to go with this stuff. But man, oh man, you know, people are working for a living. A lot of people are married. They have children. There's an awful lot of other things going on. So when you go and lift a set of Dinnies or go and roll that Inver up the front of you and shoulder it, and if you're like Andy, you press it overhead, you know, or a number of other people, you know, Kenny Nowicki, any of these guys, all right? It's an amazing feat, and to me, the more we can get this out here, whether it's video, M&M, both, that's all I care. Because, you know, yeah, we're not going to claim everybody to come in here and do this stuff, but we might get them maybe to start lifting weights, or we might get them to start doing sandbags, or we might want to get them to the point where now they have the confidence, like Charlie talked about in the beginning of the show, where you could hear when he was talking, he was brimming with confidence because he had just completed something that took a while to do, took a lot of commitment, and you heard Charlie say it, you've heard me say it before, you have a lot of doubt at times. And this is the thing I like about this show, because there's a real human side that most people will not portray anywhere else. They think it's weakness. The weakness is to keep your mouth shut and not tell people things that probably most of us have all gone through or are going to go through. All right, Charlie, it's yours, brother.
Yeah, well, certainly I'd hate to think of somebody, you know, sort of suffering in silence when yep, they think that they're the only one that's doing that in terms of training, and they're struggling, and they, I mean, whatever you do, don't give in, don't stop. No. Because it's just a stepping stone. It's just an experience. It toughens you up.
Yep.
As hard as it may be to leave at the time, it's actually building your character, and you just got to get back out and you got to do it. And when you do it, and you will do it, then you're going to feel so much better for it, and you're going to develop that confidence in yourself. And if things come to sort of obstruct you, you're going to cope with it much more easily, and you just need to keep going and going and just have confidence. But realize this is a blip on the way to success, and it's easy for me to sit here and say all that and everything, but it is such a reality. You just need to just keep going and believe in yourself. Everybody has these. Everybody, whether they talk about it or not, everybody has these upsets and lack of confidence. Everybody does. It's only human. You know, it does happen, and you just need to keep going.
Well, you know something, Charlie? It's very simple. I mean, you know, it's not convoluted like everybody thinks that, you know, you're a failure, you can't do it. Look, you're playing around with dynamite, in my opinion, all right? And a lot of us don't even look at it that way. But if you step back and you look at what you did, you know, we'll just talk the Invern the Dinnies among going on a Stone tour with Stevie. You're talking about some major, major stuff, all right? And never discount that. But, you know, we kind of just go in and, you know, beat up on it, and it beats up on us. But like I said, when you really sit down and think about, hey, I just did this, or I'm going to go over and I'm going to go get the Husafel like I'm going to, and I want to go to Latra and get those three stones and the Judas stone and the Column stone. You can't go in there with fear. You can't go in there with apprehension. Yep, you're going to be nervous. Anybody that tells you you're not nervous is dead from the neck down. I'm telling you right now, that's no insult to anybody either. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not feeling stuff all through your body, something's not working right. So I think the beauty of all this stuff is this, you know, to try to encapsulate it, is basically you have a date with some form of destiny there, no matter where it is. You know, we've talked about what we want to do. Charlie's got more things on the docket. I have tons of stuff. I mean, the hardest thing for any man or woman, no matter what is presented, is to be doing the work and not get to your destination. I can tell you firsthand. But you have to have that belief, that optimism that you're going to get there, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it with a style that you've never even thought you had. Very important. And you're going to be an example. And the people you're with, you're going to feed off one another. You're going to be better. But you're going to know inside all that training you did, all that bleeding you did, all that chalk all over you, dirt, mud, everything. Okay? All I can tell you is this. It's worth it. And Charlie, I'm sure, can attest to that. You know, and the thing is, which to me is really something that you won't probably figure out till it's done. I'm sure Charlie pretty much could blink his eyes and stood up with the Dinnies the same way, you know, rolling that Inver up and putting it on his shoulder. The same way, even though it might take 12 to 15 seconds to get around the sheep pen, all that work just seems to happen like snapping your fingers or flicking your eyelids. I'm telling you, it's that quick. Enjoy it before you go. Enjoy the ride to get there. And when you get on that battlefield, enjoy everything. Because Bill Crawford said a thing to us when we went to Iceland in 2008. This might be the first and the last time you ever get here. And how those words ring so true. It's all yours, Charlie.
Yeah, it was like the night before I went to the Dinnies. I've been, there's sort of a mini sort of documentary sort of film thing going on at the moment, which I'm sort of slightly involved in, or sort of the one of the subject matters in it, if you like. And the lady who's doing the filming came to my house the night before. Avril,
yep.
She's a lovely lady. She's great.
Yep.
And she wanted to film me the night before going off to do the Dinnies to sort of get a sense of how I was feeling, and I suspect it probably would have made the documentary more interesting and exciting if I'd been sitting there like a nervous wreck, sort of dribbling and trembling and saying, oh, I'm not going to sleep tonight, I'm so nervous and everything, because it would have built up the tension.
Yep.
But quite honestly, myself, I'd done as much as I physically could do.
Good,
I was
yeah.
happy that I'd done as much as I could do.
Yep.
And I was pretty relaxed, and I thought, well, there's not much more I can do, and I've just basically just got to deal with it. And so it probably doesn't make for, you know, exciting that segment.
Right.
Might not make for particularly exciting viewing, but nevertheless, if you've put the work in and you've trained for it, what is the point? There's absolutely no point in stressing about it.
Yep.
You've gone as far as you can. I couldn't do anything in the next 10 hours that was going to make any difference whatsoever. Nope. To the lift, except get a decent night's sleep.
Yep.
So you might as well just do that. Even if you hadn't put the training in, which, you know, you should, even then there's no point. There's no point in getting worked up, because you know yourself if you've done enough or not. And there's absolutely no point in stressing. So, that was just an example the night before, Eric, as part of this film. But probably if I'd been a bit more of an actor, I probably should have made it a little bit more exciting.
And,
You know.
but you hit the nail on the head, Charlie. There's no more you could have done. You put all the work in. You have to go and believe in what you did, and obviously you did the right stuff, and you had the confidence, and you went and pulled it off. I mean, you know, people give you a big dog and pony show with it, but let's face it, it's pretty cut and dry. You do your work in the gym, you get your sleep, you have good habits, you know, you go out and do the things that are going to make you one hell of a stone lifter, via with your weightlifting, with your mental process. And you know what? You get there that day, pretty much it's already written, and you stand in between the dinnies, stand over them, or the inver, or anything else you did, and you succeed. So,
one thing, Eric.
Say whatever you want.
The biggest confidence booster that I had probably through the whole ordeal was, as I said, I was training at home with these training rings.
Yeah.
Now, when Stevie came over to help me out a bit with the technical aspects of things, we went to visit Brett Nicol at his house.
Yep.
Now, Brett has replica stones. He's got, they're called the Nicol stones. There's three stones. There's a sort of a small, a medium, and a large one. And there's only, I think, four people who've ever lifted his large ones, which are heavier than the Dinnies.
Okay.
And I'm one of them.
Wow.
And this was, I think the heaviest one's about 200 kilograms, which I don't know, it's about 400.
440.
Pounds.
Yeah.
So I lifted that one and his middle one, which I'm afraid I can't remember what that weighs offhand.
Yep.
But anyway, I didn't go to his house expecting to do this, but I was with Stevie.
Yep.
And Stevie wanted to have a go at them because he wanted to lift his father's stones, the Shank stones.
Sure.
So I was there with Stevie and it all seemed to happen, and I lifted these things they felt fine, you know, and Brett was slightly surprised that I was even worried about the Dinnies, because he didn't seem to think there was going to be an issue.
Right.
And with Brett's attitude and what I'd managed to lift with the Nicol stones and Stevie's support, I mean, honestly, everything was pointing towards having a successful lift in the following week.
Yep.
So I mean, that was probably when things started to turn, and I felt that, you know, this is reality. This is going to happen. I don't really need to get too worked up about it.
No, and I agree with you. You know, something else, Charlie, things don't happen by accident. You know, I don't buy any of that. It's like, you know what? You did the work. Obviously, the right people came into your life. You came into theirs, and you pulled it off. I think life is much more simpler than people make it. And when you're doing what you do, what I do, what I like to do, Stevie, Martin, anybody, you know, I'll never forget. I talk about Frank Klein at the end of the show. He was a great business marketing teacher. And he used to write a few things on the wall, you know, on the board. There's two things I'll never forget all the time. Three. Repetition, repetition, repetition. The second one was American, and he used to circle the last four letters, I can. And he used to always write the KISS method on it, and that was keep it simple, stupid. And I never forgot that, because I equate that with so many things I do, because we all have a tendency not only to listen to people, but we have a tendency to make things much harder than they are. And when you're messing around with 400-pound stones, total of 700-plus, you know, a mid-200s, 265 with an inver, you can make that so uncomfortable for yourself, no matter how strong you were, you know, past, present, or today, you'll bomb. There's no doubt about it. So I think the one thing I'll lend to this, being I haven't been over there yet, and I will, is I'm going to keep things as simple as possible, training-wise, but be as efficient with my time and my weights and my mental thoughts as I can. And that's just about it. You know what? We're going to have to do some of the other stuff on the next show. But, you know, you can wet the whistle for people. I know you're going into Highland Games. If you want to make a comment on the next few things you're going to be doing between now and October, which is going to be coming up before you know it, be my guest. Summarize anything. Give out anything you want, my friend. Hang on the line, and I'll sign off for this show, please.
Well, obviously on the 3rd of September, I've got this Highland Games coming up. So the Arbless Stones are going to be a feature of that. It's open to everybody. It's totally free. And there's trophies available for people if they want to take part. In terms of goals, like in the future and things, the next thing, the obvious thing is to try these Shank Stones, which are belong to Jack Shanks.
Yep.
So that's in terms of keeping the momentum going and keeping the strength going and having a purpose for even getting to this stage. The next goal that does seem to be the obvious one, the Shank Stones, because it's very much in the vein of the Dinnies. It's the same sort of style.
Yep.
And with a bit of luck, I should be able to get those too, although they are heavier. So really, that's about it, Eric. That's what's on the horizon. And
that's a lot of stuff, my friend. That is a lot. Hey, let me ask you: the Shank Stones, do they have the ring in them like the Dinnies and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're concrete.
I don't
know if they've got lead in them as well. But they basically got. They might not. I'm not sure about that. But they're very, very. I can't remember. They're in excess of 800 pounds anyway.
Yeah.
But they do have the metal rings in them. I think they're iron rings, but they're man-made. But nevertheless,
who cares?
Sitting like Stevie, you know, even when he was a small boy, he remembers these things in his dad's garden, and he's always fancied lifting them. And again, I think only maybe about four people have lifted them or something. I mean, very few, including Jack himself. As a bonus, if you do succeed, you get a little certificate made up.
Signed by Jack himself. Hey.
Quite a nice little souvenir to have. So.
What an honor, man. I mean, to go over there and do that, you'll have a blast. I mean, think about it, Charlie. You hit all those things with the Highlands, and you go over there and hit the Shank Stones. How many people have a year like that in their life ever? I mean, that's a big deal, man. I mean, you know, I know you're a very modest man, but... that's a big deal. I mean, I'm looking at what you've done, and I'm like, shit, man. Most, you know, you look at people, they're this, that, and the other thing with the weights and this and that. It's like, you know something? I love to hear them say, well, I only, you know, put, I don't know, for the year, say they put 50 pounds, 70 pounds on their squat. People don't realize that's a lot of friggin' weight. I mean, they're all expecting, like, oh, I'm going to put the 300 pounds on it. Good luck. You know what I mean? So... you know, what you're doing is just outstanding, and it's like, this is great, man. I can't wait till we talk. Well, it'll be later in the year, obviously, when you hit the Shank Stones, but I'd like to get you on, obviously, after the Highlands, if we can get... is that going to be an in-between between the Highlands and the Shank Stones? Is there going to be okay.
Yeah, there should be. Got 3rd of September is the games, and so early October is the Stones. So,
okay,
yeah,
so...
that should be fine.
Yeah, so we can get you in maybe in the middle of September, and we can talk all about that then. That'd be great. What else you got, my friend?
Well, one thing I should just quickly say, last thing before we leave, is that, you know, how we're talking about confidence and sort of, you know, all the training and everything, and we're talking about the battles and everything.
Yep.
Well, I can assure you, all the listeners and the readers now, that, okay, I might be sitting now and having done the Dinnies, but I'm telling you, when these Shank Stones, when they get closer, I'm going to have exactly the same concerns, doubts for the training. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just have to deal with it. So... yeah, it's just the reality. That's just the reality of training for a goal in the future, and it's not unusual. It's not strange. But I might be sitting here full of confidence now. But honestly, I'm gonna have those same doubts and fears, and it's just normal. And I'll just have to train hard and give myself confidence to get it.
Hey, so. Well, I'll tell you this. Remember these two words. I say it all the time to myself: success repeats. I mean, I do that when I'm outside lifting some heavy stuff. I'll say that out loud. If you could hear me and people have heard me from my driveway, they think the guy's insane back there. And I'm screaming success repeats. You know what I mean? Like when we do with I am a winner, I am a champion. I'm not shy out there. I try constantly to influence my mind to keep doing the things I want to do. And what you're doing, in my opinion, after hitting the Denny's, basically you're building a new chapter. You're writing a new chapter with the Shankstones. I mean, it's a great thing, man. I admire what you do. Boy, I wish I could walk side by side with you right into it. But I will. But I'm just saying, to me, a guy that is listening to this and really respects the traditions and, you know, how can't you not respect a guy, a gentleman like Jack Shanks? I mean, that's like royalty, like Peter Martin and David Webster. You know what I mean? These are men that have really lent to strength like, you know, you don't see. I mean, there's a big group of you, obviously. You know, you've got you and Martin and a bunch of you, obviously. But, you know, you look at these guys, you know, they're getting older. We've lost Peter Martin. You know, these gentlemen aren't getting any younger. So, you know, in opportunities like you have, man, I'm very glad you're taking them. You got anything else, my friend?
No, I think that's it. Although I did have the benefit of shaking Jack Shanks' hand immediately before lifting the Denny's, and that was quite a nice boost. But honestly, I'll leave it there. That's it, Eric.
I think that's great because right there, you probably got a little bit of that strong DNA on your hands,
yeah,
man. All right? Yeah. That's a great thing. All right. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Winner Circle. You want to go lift some stones? Winner Circle. Winner Circle. It is more than just 13 modules. It's a way of life. Beat the crap out of old age out of you. Beat the weakness out of you. You know, as Dr. Wong would say, you know, we want men warriors. We want T-men, meaning testosterone. This stuff will do just that. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., slap the winner's circle. You can just click that. Go out, read it all. I'm telling you right now, it is very impressive, and we are going to add more and more modules to that course. That's not going to end with 13. Also, two contributions, as I said, 25, 50, and 100. 25, you get the beginning, and for 50, you get the beginning, and you get 1.5 hour of free consultation with me. For $100, you get the beginning, and you get 2.5 hours, or you can combine it into an hour of free consultation with me. Now, the beginning, if you don't know, that is the first module on the winner's circle, and it smokes. And I'll tell you right now, you listen to something like that, your days of being pessimistic are over. You will be so optimistic, you'll be like, is this the real me? I'm telling you right now, it works. But like anything, you know, like Charlie was saying in the beginning and the end here, when you make changes like this, it's going to shake you a little bit at times. When you're doing the right things mentally and physically and spiritually, it's going to build confidence, and with confidence you can do anything. It's not going to be 90 days either, folks. It's physical culture. It's a lifetime. So always remember that. Also, too, as I said, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows Charlie and I have done alone. There's over 700 shows out there. We are coming up on our third anniversary at the end of September, and I'm going to contact Charlie, obviously. Maybe we can get a group of us on, depending on time frames, because I'm not going to be able to have everybody on individually. I'd like to get a group of different people on to celebrate the 3 years. It's very important, and I'm very proud of the accomplishments I have done here with it, pretty much on my own. But without people like Charlie and Martin and Kirsten and Stevie and Frank DeMeo and on and on and on, I couldn't do this. So I thank all of you beforehand about that, and I will reach out to you more as we get closer to the anniversary date. Also, too, go out to, if you'd like Charlie and I to do a specific show, FiorelloBarbell at NICAP.R.com. You can go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. Also, to AHA, that's the directory, that's AHA. You can get Motivation Muscle on your car radio. All the new cars have the ability to get podcasting now, and they do make aftermarket radios, whatever you want to call them, stereo systems. Also, too, if this is, I'm thinking right now about anniversary, but, you know, when you're, you know, if you meet someone in the gym or the concrete jungle and they want a hand with something, you know, 5 words of inspiration can change someone's life. It's very important. You know, we talk about mainstreaming everything. Well, you know, how you conduct, how you talk to people is vitally important, and never fall for the trap. Oh, he's this, that, she's this, that. Make up your own mind. Make up your own mind to people, because you might, you know, when you believe other people with things, a lot of times you could be missing out on some of the best people in your life. So take advice on that, and not, don't be afraid not to step out of the circle, so to speak. Also, my mom always would tell us when we were kids, never, you know, always give somebody a smile or just be nice to them. You know what I mean? It's kindness, words, you know what I mean? Because you don't know what they're dealing with that day. And, you know, sometimes just a smile alone can change things for people. Always remember that. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, has been listening to Eminem from the beginning. When I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Gallons, my friend, and more is on the way. This show will be up tomorrow, by the way, with Charlie and I. Dr. Wong will be on with me, it looks like, Friday again. And wait till you hear the show we got coming this week. It is another mind blower, believe me. It's unbelievable. Also, too, Frank Klein, as I talked about, he was my greatest marketing business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, greatest chiropractor ever. It's 3 years almost to where we lost him. He had cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your best or worst day, and you will crack a smile. I am right now. Or if you're just feeling great, walk around and say it. See how much happier what you're going to attract into your life. It's going to be unbelievable. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door in. We're going to blow the roof right off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. 30 years of the best broadcasting and the best people you'll ever meet in your life. We are truly a family here. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness, but we'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And how many people would say that in today's world? Charlie, always an honor. Congratulations on everything you've done and everything you're going to do. And I can't wait to hear about the Shank Stones. Now you got me really thinking. Now that's going to be on my mind all the time. But it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're a hell of a friend, and you're a hell of a part of my family here. And I thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be on the show as always, and it was great to chat to you and sort of catch up, and I'll look forward to the next time, Eric. Thank you.
Yes, sir, and in case you didn't hear me, everyone, we will have this show up probably tomorrow afternoon or late morning, so you're going to hear some hell of a good show, and I can't wait. But before I say goodbye to everybody, we've talked about manliness. You know how we are with Dr. Wong and a lot of other people, too. You know, men, get off the couch, get off the friggin' TV, the video, the phone, get rid of the 9-month belly, the spare tire, get out there. If you just need to start walking, do that. You can contact any of us through the show. Facebook, everybody's got a way to get a hold of them. There is nobody here that would say no to you. I know that for a fact. Everybody here is so generous with their time. So don't let that be your excuse, you know? Support your wives, wives support your husbands. Don't let these jack-offs out there, whatever they're doing it with media, put a wedge between the two of you. Stay strong, stay together, be examples for your sons and daughters and your nieces and nephews like I am. It's very important. We want you here for 30 years at least. Be part of our family, part of the revolution, and we need to stick together. So, for Charlie Oliphant, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, everybody, and you know that we will be up and at 'em again tomorrow. It's a lot of fun, and I love what I do, and I thank everybody for that. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.